What's up, everybody? My name is Jake Welchins, and welcome to the Readout Podcast. Glad you're back. Last week, we revealed a book called Unoffendable by Brant Hanson. It's a masterful book on becoming just that, someone who is unable to be offended. It's a great way to live, and I'm reaping the rewards from that book. Today, we are taking a deep dive into one of his chapters, and you're going to learn some interesting things. Number one, why Brant wants to punch himself in the face. Number two, what happened when he stole $600 from a friend, and much more. Get ready for some great stuff. Welcome to the Readout Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Welchins, and for the past 10 years, I've been helping young leaders reach their potential. At Readout, our belief is that to lead out, you have to read out. And to read out means to read well and read broadly. Almost every great leader in history has been a reader, and we wholeheartedly agree with Margaret Fuller when she said, "Today a reader, tomorrow a leader." Reading is not optional to leadership. It's not the side dish. It's the main course. And in order to become a great leader, you have to dig in. But here's the problem. We here at Readout know that in this day and age, time and energy is hard to come by. My hope is to save you that time and energy and bring you the best books that can have impact in your life right now. Then I want to teach you to get the most out of these books so that you can become the leader you've always dreamed of being faster than you ever imagined. Our dream is to create a movement of young adults passionate about reading and dangerously effective at leading. Thank you to everybody sharing us on social media or giving us reviews on Apple Podcasts and things like that. We really appreciate it. I truly appreciate that you would take the time to help us do this. We need your help building this movement. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to our new series, Lighten Up, where we're going to explore some new books that will give you the power to lift the weights in your life. For you, it may be social stress weighing you down or literal emotional baggage or something taking a physical toll on you that's just weighing you down. Whatever it is, let's lighten up together and take a closer look at these amazing books. Each week, we're going to hit up one of these awesome books and give a reveal, and then we'll follow up that week with a chapter from the book you can apply instantly. This week, we're breaking down one of my favorite chapters from Unoffendable called Idea. Let's punch Brant in the face. What we're going to do today is read the chapter together, and I'll stop two times to further elaborate on a couple key sections to get you applying this amazing piece of leadership art. Without further ado, let's jump in. Idea. Let's punch Brant in the face. Maybe you know the feeling. Everyone's doing something you know is wrong, something you find so offensive, but you don't know how to convince them of just how wrong it is. You desperately need to let them know how wrong they are and how right you are. And you need a means to make a convincing, well thought out, thought provoking, logical argument. But how? How can you do this? How can you properly impart your sweeping message of disapproval? It's obvious. Get an awesome t-shirt. I got one that said smoking stinks. I had one of these as a kid. It had a picture of a cigarette with smoke coming out of it, and "smoke stinks" was written in cursive, which made it even fancier. Most people in our little Illinois town smoked, but as a Christian, I knew smoking was evil. So it was great to finally have a t-shirt that so succinctly communicated my disapproval. Look, it's simple, folks. You smoke, you stink. I don't smoke, I don't stink, I win. Questions. Now, what exactly do I win? Nothing, as it turns out. But I was a kid, so I have to cut myself some slack. I was just doing what immature humans do, and that is thinking it's my job to put people in their place. I also thought it was my job to single-handedly win souls for Christ. And when these souls saw my impressive purity and how I abstained from worldly things like cigarettes, they'd say something like, "Wow, I want to be like you. Tell me about this Jesus who claimed to be the Jewish Messiah, the fulfillment of all prophecy, the hinge in the history of the universe, and who has inspired you to wear this smoking stinks t-shirt." And just for the record, to date, exactly zero people have said that. But it's not too late. Quick quiz. And this is a risky one, at least for me. I'm going to tell you a few things about myself, then I'll ask you a question at the end, so be ready for the question. Unless you're a PK, preacher's kid, like me, all these statements are likely true. Over the course of my life, I, Brant Hanson, have likely cussed far less than you. I probably exercise far more than you. I am likely far more discerning and conservative with my family's entertainment choices than you are. I've probably been drunk less times than you, zero times total in my life. I've likely done drugs less than you again, 0 times. I've possibly done more to help the poor than you. I've probably been less promiscuous than you. I was a virgin when I got married and have never cheated. I've likely smoked less than you and worn more anti-smoking shirts. I probably have less debt than you since I'm debt-free. I likely give away more of my money in a higher percentage than you do. I probably have less body fat than you because I'm far more disciplined about eating good food than you are. I've likely baptized more people than you. And now, here's the question, so be honest. How do you like me now? A, I'm incredibly impressed, Brant. You're amazing. I want to hang out with someone as inspiringly clean living as you. B, maybe you mean well, but I'd kind of like to punch you in the face. C, there is no kinda. I want to punch you in the face. D, seriously, Brant, I'm coming to punch you in the face. Personally, I choose C because I want to punch myself in the face. Hard, perhaps I'm wrong on this, but I doubt people will love God more because of my list of moral accomplishments. They're more likely to be annoyed, and I don't blame them. Even worse, at least one person would probably think, yep, Brant's morally better than me. I'm a loser, just like I figured. Great. You lost. What do I win? Truth is, and this goes for secular righteousness too, like bragging about buying your own carbon offsets or your sanctimonious bumper sticker, precious few people are attracted to displays of moral fastidiousness. As an example, I just saw an article about the 10 most annoying Gwyneth Paltrow quotes of all time. All her comments about how wonderfully pure her diet is. No one wants to hear that. One, perhaps I'm wrong on this, but I doubt people will love God more because of my list of moral accomplishments. All right, let's step out for a second. Isn't that an amazing intro? I just love the way Brant talks. It's so casual. He's a funny, witty guy. I love the sarcasm. This first time I read this, I laughed out loud. Why? Because I can relate. How many times have I thought my moral accomplishments or accomplishments in general would win me influence and respect with my peers? Way too many to count. Now, absolutely, it needs to be said that being a person who gets things done or does cool things can win you some influence. But far more often, people will want to be led by and associate with people who can relate to their struggles and shortcomings. We're all broken, and a great piece of leadership advice is to stop trying to impress the people around you with your achievements, stances, etc. Start trying to impress them with your humility, your vulnerability, and your honesty. It's a much more surefire way to gain influence in the lives of those around you. Be focused on them. All right, back to the chapter. They're more likely to be annoyed. People are put off because our deepest, most heartfelt questions aren't, is Brant a really pure person, or can Gwyneth Paltrow somehow, some way maintain her flat abs with the assistance of an entire team of chefs and fitness professionals? That's not what speaks to us. That's not our question. What we're really wondering, what everyone's really wondering, is simply this. Does God really, truly, after all that I've done, love me? Not long ago, I stole about $600 worth of stuff from a friend. He was a friendly colleague, to be more accurate, a fellow radio professional who published a daily show prep site. I knew him because we worked in the same town. I was a talk radio host who was well known for being a follower of Jesus. He was a successful host at a country station, in addition to running his internet business. He invited me to lunch one day along with the other people on his show, and we enjoyed talking. He told me he respected me as a radio pro, and the high regard was mutual. He wasn't particularly into the Jesus thing, but was very respectful of my beliefs. Soon after, I moved to Florida to work in Christian radio, and he sent me an email, sad that I was leaving, but wishing me well. Radio people, especially morning shows, pay about $50 a month to get fresh ideas, to read takes on current events, or to find out what happened on TV last night so they can talk about it and seem up to date. Not long after starting on my new morning show in Florida, someone gave me a password to the show prep site, one of the best sites in the industry. It was my friend's site. I used the borrowed password for about a year. I felt guilty about it at first, but as I tend to do, I rationalize it. I didn't have $50 a month. And besides, it wasn't as if it was costing him anything if I used his material. Over time, I didn't even think about it. I just downloaded and printed out his daily report to use on my show. Until, that is, one morning, as I printed it out, and for whatever reason, I suddenly felt another pang of guilt. It was during a show, about 7 in the morning, when I sent it to the printer and wondered, is it possible that he could know I'm downloading this? That he could know I'm in West Palm Beach and see the IP address of people who are accessing his info and just suspect it's me? As I was thinking that, not kidding, here, an email pinged into my box from him. The subject line read simply, "What's going on?" I felt sick. He did know. He knew I was ripping him off. I was a Christian broadcaster he actually respected, and I was pirating his stuff. I could barely get through the show. I didn't have anything to say on the air, nothing funny, nothing at all. I didn't know how I was to handle this, but I knew I had to call him and apologize. I owed him $600, and money was tight. I thought about having to explain that to my wife when we had almost nothing in the bank, so I stared at the phone for a while, and then I called him. I told him I was so sorry, and I told him I knew the irony of Christian broadcaster guy stealing from secular broadcaster guy, and how I was embarrassed and at his mercy. I would pay him $600 immediately. He was amazingly graceful. He said we'd all done things that we're embarrassed about. He told me he accepted my apology and I should forget about it, and that he still respected me. By the way, he told me that he hadn't known I was stealing his stuff. He just emailed me to tell me he missed hearing me on the radio. He forgave me. Truth is, while my sin is embarrassing, he's a smart guy and he already knew I was a sinner. In fact, everyone who knows me does, even if I never personally stolen anything from them. If I think I can pull one over on people and convince them that I've got my act together, the only one I'm fooling is me. And the same goes with you. If you think people are drawn to you by an impressive religious resume, you're in for a shock. When people are in crisis or need to know that God loves them, that they're not alone, they don't seek out the guy who thinks he's Mr. Answer or who radiates superiority and disapproval. They want someone who loves God and who loves them. Refusing to be offended by others is a powerful door opener to actual relationships. Man, this story is so good, and I want to pause right there. I think we can learn a lot from Brant's friend here, and we'll do this in 1 second after a word from our sponsors. Okay, we're back, and I think it'd be easy to glance over the story and move on without fully absorbing Brant's point. He stole $600 from his friend, then admitted this, and what happened? The man forgave him and pushed deeper into the relationship. Wow. I did not see that coming. I surely didn't think that would have been my response. I love Brant's line here, though. He says, refusing to be offended by others is a powerful door opener to actual relationships. Keyword, actual. We all have people in our lives who we would consider relationships, but are they actual relationships? Relationships where we're fully known and know others. As leaders, we need to master the art of being unoffended by others. Number one, because we'll need others to do this for us. And number two, because you will be able to build incredible relationships in light of this. That's what I want, and I hope you do too. All right, back to the book. Let's finish it out. I don't expect people who aren't believers to act like followers of Jesus. Why should they? How about I give up the sanctimonious act and just love them without thinking I need to change their moral behavior? Refusing to be offended by others is a powerful door opener to actual relationships. Why not leave that to God? He's still changing my own behavior after all. Again, it's simple humility. I know God wants my heart and wants their hearts. He wants us to turn away from ourselves and turn to Him. He can handle the rest. He loves them even more than I do. At some level, of course, I enjoy trying to control the behavior of others. Only problem, I can't even fully control me. Man, I love this book, and I've seen the fruit of moving towards becoming unoffendable in major ways. It's a lifestyle I want to embrace as a leader, and one I hope you will too. If this sounds like a book you'd benefit from, which I'm telling you, it's phenomenal and it's had huge impact in my life, please pick it up today. And if you're going to buy it, go to our show notes, click on the link that's in there from either this episode or last episode. You'll get a great book at no extra cost to you from Amazon, and we'll get a portion of the proceeds to keep bringing you the best content in books day in and day out. So thanks for considering that. Next week, we're going to hit book number 2 in our series, Lighten Up. And wow, it's a good one. You won't want to miss it. This is your host, Jake Welchens. And remember, life's too short for bad books. If you know someone out there who would benefit from today's episode, please share it. Let's build this thing together. I need your help. To connect or see what I'm reading right now, follow me on my Instagram at Jake Welchens or my Goodreads profile at www.goodreads.com/Jake Welchens. This podcast is brought to you by the Launchpad Podcast Collection and performed and written by myself, Jake Welchens. Podcast production by the one and only Logan Bongean. See you next time on Read Out.